The BOP, which is that huge blowout preventer,
yeah,
which is the height of a five-story building and weighs hundreds of tons, we are told. Thad Allen, who was the Coast Guard commander of this operation, the admiral who was in charge of Obama's response, he reported days ago that the BOP was tilting by up to 12 degrees.
All right, what does that
mean? Well, think the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Why do buildings tilt? If the ground, is tilting.
The ground is moving.
And
shifting.
We don't know, and I don't know tonight, and I've been trying to find this out, and again, it's very hard to get information out of a corporation that has determined it owns everybody and owns the news and has decided now to own the First Amendment. So we don't have up-to-date information as to which direction it's tilting. Now, the reason that would be important is because if it's tilting away from the bubble, the bulge, it means that the bulge is getting bigger, and like any building built on a surface, if the ground is tilted, the building's going to be tilted.
Mm-hmm.
So the BOP is another indicator, albeit indirect, that the ground is literally shifting under this well, and it does not bode well for anyone who is within hundreds and hundreds of miles.
Is it conceivable that that entire region could bulge and then collapse to the point where, you know, the ocean level would be another 3 or 4 miles deep? Tsunamis would hit the coast?
No, it won't go down that deep. But even if it was, if it only collapsed in portions by a couple of hundred feet, that's a huge volume of water when you think of the column, water column, going from the surface all the way down to the seafloor, which is a mile.
Right.
And that's what causes tsunamis. So the mechanism whereby that would become a cavity as opposed to a bulge would be obviously as think of this as a souffle. For all you folks out there that like to dabble around in the kitchen, think of a souffle that rises and rises. Why does a souffle in the oven fall? Why are you told, don't open the door? It's because if you have vibrations, you'll get cracks in the surface of the souffle, and the gases inside that are making it inflate.
They escape.
They escape.
Yep.
And then, you know, remember nature abhors a vacuum? Well, under a mile of seawater, with a pressure of, 2,400 pounds per square inch, if you release the pressure underneath and the bulge collapses, the seawater will obviously rush to push down that former bulge, and you could get a crater. You could get a nice, broad, kind of saucer-shaped crater. Probably wouldn't be nice, but it would be, you know, roughly saucer-shaped. But the volume of water, if we're talking about something which is hundreds of square miles in area, that could be, you know, thousands of cubic miles of volume if you evacuated the gas suddenly through fissures, through vents that broke, the geology fractures, the rock meets its, you know, breaking point. We've all seen those videos, you know, where they put rock in a hydraulic press.
Sure.
And they press it and press it, and suddenly there's a loud crack, and it fails. Well, that's the same thing that can go on here, except in reverse. It's pushing upward, obviously driven by these enormous methane pressures. As I said, on the high side, maybe 100,000 PSI, if we're to believe the folks that have been telling me this. And if that were to evacuate suddenly, to rush out as a huge set of bubbles, a lot of very bad things would happen very quickly, starting with all of the rigs and ships and crews on the surface trying to drill these relief wells, trying to collect the oil from that cap, trying to, you know, shuttle supplies back and forth, because methane and water basically don't mix, and you would have a frothy mass of bubbles that would lose buoyancy, and large ships would sink like the proverbial rock
instantly.
In seconds.
Yes, something
as
we've
talked about. As would anybody trying to swim, because you can't swim in water that doesn't support your buoyancy. So that would be instant death for probably 2,000 or 3,000 people that are out there now.
My God, the whole thing, the whole crew, everything.
Everything,
gone.
Everybody, everything. Now, that would only be the beginning of the concatenation of bad things, because as soon as that bubble broke the surface, it would displace a huge amount of water coming up. That would cause your first tsunami that would race outward at the speed of sound and water, which is around 500-600 miles an hour. And within minutes, it would reach the nearest shore, and within a few more minutes, it would reach all the way around the Gulf. So anybody within, let's say, a mile or two of the of the ocean would be in danger if they had no warning. You know, it was a nice day, it was sunny, the birds are, you know,
you'd have no idea.
Oil on your patio, and suddenly a nightmare erupts from the direction of the Gulf, and you have no time to get out of the way because you have no warning.
Give me odds of possibility here with this.
There are no ways, because now we're getting to the critical data problem. We don't have the mud logs. And for people who don't remember what a mud log is, every time a well is drilled, an archive is kept, a record is kept of every geological strata the drill has to go down through to get to the reservoir that they're aiming at. That is proprietary company information. All the companies have to keep them, and they keep them to themselves. They don't even apparently share them with the federal government because it's proprietary competitive information over their competitors, the other oil companies out there looking for the same, you know, mother lode.